Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this gracious number and how it heartens us, invigorates us to know that our labors are not in vain in the Lord, because Thy truth is constantly going forth under the power of the Holy Spirit and is changing lives, rearranging homes, and making individuals new creations in Christ, giving Thee all the glory, praise, and honor. And we thank Thee for Thy distinguishing grace this day and what Thy grace means to us here in our particular life and then every life before us in our radio land and this ministry. We thank You for this ministry of reconciliation and how we constantly cry unto men and women everywhere to be reconciled unto God by the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we ever proclaim Him, and our Father honor that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And may every individual in this assembly this morning acknowledge Jesus Christ, Lord of their life. We pray Thy blessings upon the message, upon the past hours that Thou hast given us, and everything will be done for Thy name's honor and glory. Lead us and keep us, and we'll give Thee the praise this day. Thou art worthy of all our praises. Thou art worthy to be praised, and all honoring be given unto Thee, my Lord. Lead us in this hour, for we need You. Bless Thy word. Bless Thy message. Bless every heart here. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 188 and sing Only Trust Him. Let's sing all the verses. Only trust Him. All three verses. This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, and our mailing address is Post Office Box Number 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking. And we praise the Lord for you that you tuned into us out the radio land and this gracious number before us in the tabernacle this morning. And what a gracious number we sang, only trust Him. Only trust Him. He will save you if you trust Him. You must trust Him. Believe Him. Have confidence in Him. In His Word. And so, we're glad to be with you. On 325, How Firm a Foundation, let's stand. Everybody sing. To consume and thy goal to refine. And sometimes to burn off the old dross, he has to put us through some fiery trials that he may adorn us with the gospel of grace. And that's what he does. It's the work of grace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to adorn us with the gospel of grace, to show forth the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us turn in our Bibles to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. We'll have a little study along this line. Many times, I don't know whether I'm studying, teaching, or preaching, and so we'll mix the two together. But let's read in the 16th chapter of Matthew. Everyone turn your Bible and read with us. Beginning with the 13th verse, the 16th chapter of Matthew, 13th verse, listen to it. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon and Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now my message this morning has to do with that 18th verse. I brought an earlier message about when Peter answered the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But let's read that 18th verse again now. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what does the word Peter mean? The word Peter, in the Greek, it means a rock. A rock. Now, Peter, which means Petros, the man of rock. Now, the name was given to Simon by Christ when he called him to be a disciple. You'll find that in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, 42, when he called Simon from his fishing. Now, Cephas, meaning the same as Peter, a rock or stone. The name Peter symbolizes firmness, stability, which was an appropriate name the Lord gave to Peter, after his positive declaration that he was the Son of God, as stated in the 16th verse, if you look at it. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know that to be true in your own heart and life? No wonder salvation is not just believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is knowing Christ. Salvation is not just making a decision for Christ. Salvation is being acquainted and having a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know that? Now, that's a great difference there than just making a decision or whatever it might be to substitute anything for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, what rock is he talking about? Not Petros, which means a piece of rock that he had reference to Peter, but Petra, P-E-T-R-A, which means the essential rock and is the only rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Psalm 62, you'll find David rejoicing in the Lord being his only rock. He is the only rock of our salvation. He is the rock of my salvation. He's greater than the rock of Gibraltar that stands out there in the Mediterranean. And that I saw one day a rock. Back in the World War II days, we passed by the rock of Gibraltar. And what a mighty fortress it is. And just gaze upon that rock. It stood there for centuries. After century. And so our Lord Jesus Christ is greater than the rock of Gibraltar. He always has been, always was, and always will be the mighty rock Now, Peter is spoken of, as well as all believers, as living stones. Now, Christ is the chief cornerstone. We're all living stones fitted into the building, the superstructure, the church. Then if you read over in the Ephesians, turn with us to the second chapter of Ephesians. Now, I love to get into that book. I guess I always refer back to it, the second chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the 19th verse. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The church, which is the called out ones, are built upon one foundation, the one essential rock, and that's Christ, as Isaiah 28:16 tells us. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:11 reads, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I know there's many people believe today that that the Lord Jesus Christ had reference to Peter being the rock that he was going to build his church upon. But my, what a weak foundation that would be, because Peter was just like you and I, just a believer redeemed by the grace of God, saved by grace, called by grace, and surely you couldn't rest your eternal soul upon Peter, the little rock, but you can rest your weary soul upon the great essential rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, because other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Now, Jesus was not speaking of Peter as the one he would build his church upon. What he related to Peter, and Peter rightly understood, was that upon God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he said, I will build my church upon himself, which will consist of those who are made partakers of God's divine nature. Every believer is built upon the foundation, Christ. And that's the reason why you cannot be shaken off that rock, Christ. You're built upon sand, then you can be blown off that rock, but not upon Christ. And if you have anything building your foundation upon anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then that foundation is sinking sand. And that foundation would give way. But the foundation, Christ, will never give way. I've been on Christ, resting on him over 20 years, and the foundation holds. And others have been on there for year in and year out, centuries, through the centuries, and Christ holds. I'm not afraid of losing my salvation. I'm not afraid of falling from grace or falling from Christ. I'm not afraid of going to hell. I'm rejoicing because I'm on a solid foundation, Christ, and that I'm on my upward way to glory where I shall see my precious Lord. I'm not fearful of dying. I'm looking forward to the day that I will die, and that I will go on and be with the Lord. Death has no more sting for the believer. Grave has no victory for the believer. Christ conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave for the born-again believer, for the church. He's done it all for us. Yes, he'll build that church upon himself. And what a foundation resting there. Let the tempest come. Let Satan attack you. Let the enemy say all he wants against you. Let them harass you. Brother, that foundation I find is still there. And there are some of you who have been the Lord longer than I have, and you can say the same thing. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can voice with me that triumphant victory in Christ that he holds. Now, with you might be on shaky foundation, my friend, and you might not be resting on the solid rock. And that's what gives you cause for alarm and worry and concern. And I'd make my calling and election sure. If you're not on Christ, you have no foundation. And when the heaven and earth shall sweep away, that foundation's going to give way. And you have no place to stand, no solid foundation to rest upon. You ever think about that? Do you know Christ, my friend? Do you know him? Are you resting in Christ? Yes, upon the rock Christ Jesus, upon God himself, I will build my church. A sovereign God couldn't build it upon man's wisdom. It'd fail you. Couldn't build it upon education. It'll fail you. Certainly will. The Apostle Paul, in speaking of the church, refers to it in Ephesians 4 through 6 as one body, one spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, not many lords, one faith, not many faith, one faith, Christ, one hope of your calling, one hope, one baptism, baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One Lord. He is the object of our faith. One faith, saving faith, which fastens our eyes upon Christ, yielding to his lordship. One baptism, that of the Holy Spirit, whereby the believer is made a member of the body of Christ. You know, it's the Holy Spirit who awakens you, is the Holy Spirit who puts you in Christ. You cannot put yourself in Christ. Do you know that? You can't do it. You can't put yourself in salvation or in a state of grace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Do that. You can't believe your way into salvation. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work. He puts us in Christ. He makes us a member of the body of Christ. And he's the one who adds to the church such as should be saved. He adds to that church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Christ is the builder and maker of the church. We read in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. An individual saved, they will walk in good works. Now, you cannot be saved and continue to walk after fashions of this world, and continuing in the lust of this world. But you will walk in grace. And good works will follow you wherever you go. I don't care where. Now you think about that. He is the builder of the church. We are his workmanship. We're created, made new creations in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now God had already ordained that for our these good works for our work, for our walk, way before the foundation of this world, our salvation and everything that was needed to supply the believer for his life in this world, for his living, for his walk, everything. You know the Lord's gracious to his people. He had left out a thing. that would be helpful to the believer. He's given us everything at our beck and call, at our beck and prayers, to ask him, come, ask, it shall be given to you. I have it. You may say, well, Pastor, I've got this trouble, I've got this, I don't know how. Well, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask. He has it. But you don't understand my problem. No, certainly I don't. But he does. You tell me problems I've never heard of, and many things, and I can tell you some, but I can't help you, and you can't help me. You know, it's a delightful thing when I think back and I see how the Lord thrust me into the ministry here and given me this ministry as the pastor, the leader, and how he shut me off from everybody, running here and running there, and just I was shut up to him, looking to him. And to where everything, anything come up, I'd have to go to him. I couldn't go here and there. Nobody could help me. I turned to Dr. Copeland, he said, look to the Lord. You see? Look to the Lord. I've learned that, and that's how I've learned to point you to the Lord. Look to the Lord. I want to be saved. Look to the Lord. I want to be broken from this power of sin. Look to the Lord. He has ordained everything for us. Like some individuals say, well, you know, this cigarette has a hold upon me. I can't get rid of it. Look to the Lord. He'll break the power of it. He'll make it bitter to you, or you don't want it no more. Now, it's wonderful to have institutions set up to where we have Alcoholic Anonymous and things like that to help the alcoholics and everything to help the smoker to get rid of his cigarettes and all. But, brother, when the Lord gets through with you, it'll be a permanent thing. There is no desire to go back to it. Ask the number of people who have once smoked. They don't smoke anymore, and they praise God for it. And they're rejoicing in the Lord, or they've been drinking, or been out reveling and filled with the lust of the world. There's nothing in the world that's too hard for the Lord to do. He said he's going to build his church. He's going to build it properly. Now the church is God's building. He adds to the church daily such as should be saved. There's not everyone that will be saved. Such as should be saved. That's God's word. Are you saved? Do you desire after Christ? You want to know him? Longing in your heart after him? The Lord put that there. Grace put that there. And he'll bring you on. He'll fit you into that superstructure. He has a place for you. Yes, the church is God's building. And building is a progressive work. He's constantly building. He's building his church. You know what God is interested in? He's interested in building characters for his church. Building men and women who will stand out against the evil of the day. Against every attack of Satan. Strengthen them with might in the inner man. With the word of God. He's interested in building characters. He's not interested in building buildings, new churches, adorning churches, buildings. He's interested in adorning the gospel of grace upon his people, building characters that'll stand out against everything, every foe. And the average church today is building. It's interested about building a building and adorning the chapel and adorning churches and spending millions for things like that. and they're taken up with those things. And the membership is interested in how they can profit by it. They sell bonds and this and that at a profit, interest, and all of that sort. That's what they're interested in. The average church today, our primary duty here is not to build buildings, adorn buildings. It's wonderful here. We got a nice building God's given us. But for the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel, that Christ will be preached and believed. Not interested in making a name for ourselves or for this ministry. It's just to preach the gospel of grace. It's the great commission God gave us, to preach the word. The church is God's building, and building is a progressive work. The child of God is constantly progressing in salvation, in grace. He's saved, redeemed by the grace of God. Now he's progressing in grace. In grace, being built up in the faith that he already has, being built up in it now. You can't be built up in something you don't have. You can't be built up in Christ if you don't have Christ. You ever stop to think about that? Oh, if I could only be more like Christ. Do you know him? Do you have him? You can't be like someone that you don't have and you don't know. You might be built up on a profession or in a certain religion or a certain cult. God's not interested in that. He's interested in his church. Believers being built up in the faith, progressing day by day, month by month, just like that little child that you hold in your arm. That little child will grow, progress day by day, be built up, strengthened, until it becomes a young womanhood, and then on to adult, and so on and so on. And that's the way the church of God grows, not only in numbers, but the believer themselves grow. They grow, they have life in them, they can grow. You can't grow, there's no life. Now Christ, the foundation on which the church is built, is Christ, who is the rock. He's the rock of my salvation. He's the rock of ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let him be constantly our hiding place. Yes, Christ is the rock that is tried. It's a tried stone, as Isaiah 26:16 tells us. He is a tried stone. Tried. The church is tried. He tries every one of us. Every believer is tried. Tempted. Persecuted. Tried. The church is built upon a rock. A firm, strong, and lasting foundation. Now what, for what purpose? To withstand the storms. The storms. You know, you and I, we never realized they had so many storms in this life until after God saves us, huh? Wouldn't think they had so many temptations and so much that we have to put up with and battle against. Especially our greatest enemy, Satan, against sin. You would never think it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he strengthens his people, his church, to withstand these storms. Otherwise, we'd blow away with everything that come. With every tempest, we'd blow away. With every light breeze that may come, we'd blow away. With everything that, though, like we spoke about in the study in Ephesians there, where they lie in wait to deceive you through their cunning craftiness, we blow away, we go away with them, you see. If we didn't have a solid foundation and the Holy Spirit strengthening us and just giving us grace day by day to withstand the storms. Psalm 61:2 speaks of Christ as a high rock, not only a rock, but he's a higher rock. He's above this world. He's above our enemies. He's above Satan. He's a sovereign God. He's on the throne. He looks upon this world. He's a high tower. You know, I used to be in the camp when I was a kid and grew up, and we lived in the section where they had fire towers. And I used to climb up there sometimes. When I was about 18 years old, I guess, climb up there in the fire tower and overlook the whole area. You could see everything, all the trees. You could see it, there's a fire brewing somewhere, and just amazed. You're above everything. You feel like you're just out there in the open, and what's holding you? That fire tower. All right, what's keeping you? That fire tower. And look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our high tower. Now, who's controlling this world? The Lord, God himself. He's on the throne. He controls this world, every individual. He controls the wicked individual. They can go so far, and that's all. He controls his own people. He prevents them from falling to this and falling to that. He's our high tower. He keeps his eyes upon our enemy. He knows everything they're doing. And like I stated at the early broadcast, to where someone who stood in our pulpit here is trying to get back into our this area again and persuade people away from here. Some lady got a letter, and she called me. And I told her just to be careful and just ignore it. And I said, I know his purpose. She said, I know, I don't have anything to do with that man. I said, no. You know where the Lord saved you. You know the truth. And you know we have it here. And so we better be careful. But God's our high tower. And he sees everything. He knows what the enemy's doing. He's always four and five steps ahead of him. And that's the reason why this church has been preserved and continues as such. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ has his people here. We're his body, his church. He's redeemed us. And he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. I got up with that on my heart this morning. What a firm foundation that we have in Christ. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, which I praise him for. What a gracious Lord we have. So, he is our high tower. We're built upon a rock, a firm, strong, and lasting foundation to withstand the storm. Now, this rock towers above the world, and the church is lifted above the level of this world. Like that song says, higher grounds. Oh Lord, plant my feet upon higher ground. Not only is Christ the builder and the maker of the church, but he is its founder and its foundation. He is the founder of the church, and he is the foundation of the church. He draws sinners to himself. He draws sinners to himself. He's the church. Come, sinners. They are united unto him and are constantly depending upon him. Just like that child constantly depends upon its mother, the believer constantly depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For without him, we can do nothing. Without him, there's no triumph, no victory. There's no success. Without him, we can never go ahead. We can never continue as we are without Christ. I know sometime we might get in financial straits, and I have to stop and look to him and trust him as a little child all over again that he will provide. And so he does. And I praise him for that. Now, he draws sinners to himself. They are united unto him, and they are constantly depending upon him. Knowing we can't depend upon ourselves, we can't depend upon man. Now, because Jesus said, I will build my church, we are sure that nothing can destroy it. Now, you get that? Because Jesus said it. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said it. I will build my church. He's the great I am. And no one can frustrate his purpose or say, why doest thou? He said he'll build his church. And we are sure that nothing can destroy it. And nothing will destroy our church here that God's given us. Long as we're walking with him, trusting him, believing him, depending upon him for every need and for the awakening and for the drawing of sinners. Now, all the forces of darkness cannot prevent the completion of his church. Every individual ordained to salvation in Christ will be saved. That church will be completed one day. Man cannot admit us to that church. Christ builds it stone for stone. Stones fit into the building, fitting each into its proper place, as Ephesians 2:21 tells us, and Ephesians 5:21. And let me read from Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Isn't that grace? But that it should be holy and without blemish. We had a gracious study last Wednesday night, closing out the study in Jude, when he shall present us faultless. Isn't that wonderful? Without blemish, unblameable, every individual in Christ, washed in his blood, adorned with his righteousness, he shall present us faultless before the throne of his Father. And I'm looking for that. To know who I am and what I am by nature, know what a sinner I was and what a sinner I am by nature, and to think that one day the Lord Jesus Christ shall present me faultless, blameless, before the throne of his Father, in the presence of his Father, in the presence of all the angels, in the presence of all my enemies. You ridiculed him, and you harassed him. You said all manners of things against him. But what charge do you have against him now? He's been justified freely by my grace. He's faultless. He's without sin. And now he's going home with me, where you will perish. Yes, he will build his church. All the forces of darkness cannot prevent the completion of his church. Man cannot do it. Christ builds a stone for stone, fitting each other to his proper place, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ here promises to preserve and secure his church when it is built. It is not the strength of the church that will hurl back the attacks of Satan. The church wins its victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's where we triumph, in Christ. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Do you have a testimony for the Lord? When Satan comes up against you or the enemy, can you give him an answer for the hope that's within you? Oh, that we'll be enriched with the word of God, and we wouldn't have to stutter and worry and be ashamed, but stand there and give them the testimony of the Lord. Yes, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's where we overcome them. What is implied here is that the church has enemies that fight against it. Every true gospel ministry has the force of Satan fighting against him. I don't care whether they're in the pew, in the pulpit. If they're unsaved, they don't know Christ, they're apostates, and they're fighting against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cannot win. And we must recognize that. Let me repeat this again. What is implied here is that the church has enemies that fight against it, in the church and out of the church. Their purpose is its ruin and overthrow. And they thought that when our late pastor died, this would be the end of the ministry. Now we can go in and rush in like a flood and take over. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'll set up a standard. And he certainly did. And he's our standard bearer today. He's preserved us in himself, his church. Sure, we all think thought we were a bunch of weaklings, and surely what will happen now? Sure, we all hung our heads in defeat and thinking that this was it. But listen, we triumph in Christ. When we come to our wits' end, then Christ takes over. When we come to our helplessness, he takes over. This is his church. Mind you, he said, I will never leave my church. I will never forsake my flock, my sheep. They are the sheep of my pasture. Now, we're almost closing in just a few more remarks. Listen, the church wins this victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's the purpose of Satan and his adversaries to overthrow the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, the church's arch enemy, with all of his forces of evil, always hatching up ways to make war against the Lamb and his church. Always hatching up ways. We'll be asleep at night, resting in our Lord. They'll be hatching up ways to upset us here and to overthrow the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Inspired, they are inspired by Satan. They're a nervous bunch of people. They are. They're just as nervous as can be. They're not at rest. Anyone who tries to overthrow the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot rest. They cannot. They're always hatching up ways to make war against the Lamb and his church. You may ask, how does Satan fight against the church? All right, now let me give you some closing remarks here. By opposing truth, persecuting the ministers of Christ. Now you get this. Persecuting the true children of God. Not only the ministers, but the flock, the children of God. They're doing it now. Now these are the designs of the gates of hell. But the Lord said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Here, the word gates has reference to councils. They hold councils, signs, and all kinds of evil purposes. That's the gates of hell he has reference to there. Now, it is the purpose and designs of the gates of hell to blot out the name Christianity altogether. But they shall never accomplish their purpose. They shall never. As long as God is on the throne, and he will always be there, they shall never accomplish their purpose. In spite of all the opposition, while this world stands, Christ will have a church in it with his truths, of which his truths will be upheld, and where he is exalted, honored, and magnified. A church that will show forth the praises of his grace, a church that will love and adore him, the church shall never be cut off. We may be cast down at times, but we're never destroyed. As dying, behold, we live. Through all the battles we come, forth more than conquerors through him who loves us. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church because it is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that's God's message this morning, and what a message for my own heart, encouraging to know that is nothing in this world, no forces whatsoever, that can prevail against the church of the living God. I'm glad I'm a member of that church. I'm a living stone. I'm not a dead stone. I am a living stone, risen with Christ. You see? A living stone. And we're to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness, out of deadness, out of death, into His marvelous light. Oh, the greatest thing in this world is to know Him, is to be alive in Christ, to know He loves you, and to love Him. Now we must leave you in Radio Land, come to the close of our 2 hours here, and how the Lord has blessed us. May you prosper through all that's been said. Here is next Sunday morning, 7 to 8, Voice of Truth broadcast. Pastor's going to bring another gracious message. And the 10 to 11 o'clock Bible School of the Air and the regular worship hour. Let us hear from you. Continue to pray for me. And may the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. Goodbye. God bless you.